Luke chapter 7, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 11 with me, if you will. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Oh, I like it when the Lord visits his people, don't you? And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. If the Lord would help me for just a little while, I'd like to preach on this thought this morning. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Oh, listen, I begin to think about this woman. There are about four things that I'd like to draw out from these verses if the Lord would help me. And the first thing that I see is the conditions. The conditions. I look at this woman, and according to the scripture, now look at it again. The Bible said that a dead man was being carried out, and he was the only son of his mother. Oh, I see the conditions. I see that she's hurting. Oh, how she must have been hurting. Her son, her only son, was now dead, and they were carrying him out to bury him. Oh, I see that she was hurting. And all the many years of ministry, I've heard over and over, and I'm sure these brothers have as well, how that the greatest hurt, the greatest pain that a person could experience is the death of a child. But I see that she's hurting as she's carrying her dead son out to bury him. She is hurting. But I also see this. I see that she must be hopeless, because we read also in verse 12, the Bible said that she was a widow. She was a widow. Not only was she getting ready to bury her only son, but we also find out she was a widow, Brother Cal. And no doubt when she was made a widow, no doubt she must have depended upon her son. No doubt, according to the scriptures, he would have requited her. He would have took her into his care, and he would have provided for his mother and met her needs, and he would have opened up his home, and he would have made sure she was took care of. But now not only is her husband dead, but now her son is dead. So not only is she hurting, but we see that she's hopeless. But I also see this, that she was helpless. That she was helpless. As she was walking out to the cemetery getting ready to bury her dead son, brother, there wasn't a thing she could do. Not only was she hurting and hopeless, but I see that she was helpless. She was powerless to do anything about her situation. She didn't have the ability to change her circumstance. She couldn't wish it away, think it away, positively think it away. Brother, this is the way it was, and wasn't a thing she could do about it as she walked to the graveyard with a broken heart, with warm, salty tears running down her cheek. Listen, with her spirit grieved, her mind troubled, and her heart shattered into a million pieces. Brother, I see she must have been so helpless. This mother was hurting. She was hopeless, and she was helpless. And oh, I dare say, I dare wonder this morning in this great crowd of people, maybe there's somebody here this morning that walked into Rubyville Community Church, and you feel much the same way. You say, preacher, if I was to be honest about my circumstance, if I was to be honest about my situation, if I was to tell you my heart, I hear this morning, preacher, I would say I'm much the same way. Oh, preacher, this morning I am hurting. Oh, this morning, preacher, I feel hopeless. Oh, preacher, if I was to tell you the truth, I am the one who feels helpless Just like this mother, maybe you come in today, there's something you've been praying about. Maybe you come in this morning, there's a need that you have. Oh, maybe there's something you're going through. Maybe something your family's going through. Maybe there's a need you have. Maybe there's a prayer you've been praying. Maybe there's a burden you've been carrying. Maybe there's a battle you've been fighting. Maybe there's a valley you've been walking through. A storm you've been sailing through. Maybe you, as be honest, you'd say, preacher, I need God to show up and do something mighty in my life. Oh, I need God to do something in my marriage. I need God to do something in my family. I need the Lord to do something in my ministry. A preacher, I'm like this woman. I'm hurting. I'm hopeless and I'm helpless. I wonder how many people today has the devil whispered in your ear and he's told you it's too late. It's too late. I wonder how many of you has your flesh rose up and told you it's too far gone. I wonder how many of you has the world come your way and said, listen, you might as well just say, it's impossible. Oh, listen, have you heard those words? Have you heard somebody say, stick a fork in it? Have you heard them say, throw in the towel? Have you heard them say, listen, throw up the white flag and just give up? Have you heard them say, give in? Have you heard them say, just bury that dead thing? Listen, have you heard them say, listen, that child you've been praying for, they ain't never going to get saved. Hey, mama, papa, have you heard them say that grandbaby ain't never coming back? Have you heard them say, listen, that loved one that you have been praying for that's got that addiction, they'll never be delivered? Have you heard somebody say that that problem can't ever be fixed? Have you heard them say the healing won't come? Have you heard them say, listen, that need is too great, it can't be met? Have you heard them say that marriage can never be mended? Have you heard somebody say that relationship can't be restored? Have you heard them say it's an impossible situation? There is no way. There is no hope. It's done. It's over. It's over. It's over. But I'm going to tell you this morning, when Jesus shows up, brother, it's not over. When the Lord comes on the scene, brother, it's not over. I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what the flesh says. I don't care what the world says. I'm telling you, when the Lord comes on the scene, when he shows up, brother, it's not over. Over. I don't know your condition this morning. I don't know what it is you're praying about. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what your family's facing. I don't know your need. I don't know the battles you've been fighting this morning that's caused you to drag in here and just hope that the master passes by your way. But I'm telling you, friend, this morning, on the authority of God's word, it's not over just yet. Oh, I see the conditions. I see the conditions. They're bad. Someone said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Preacher, you don't know the news I got last week. Preacher, you don't know what my family's facing. Oh, preacher, you don't know what my child's put me through. Preacher, you don't know the need that we have, how great it is. Oh, I'm telling you, this woman's condition was great. She was hurting. She was hopeless. And she was helpless. But not only do I see the condition, whoo, this is where business picks up. I see the compassion. Oh, I see the condition, but I see the compassion. I want you to notice something in our reading, and you may very well have picked it up. But in verse 11, I want you to notice, as Jesus comes into the city called Nain, notice what the Bible said, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Do you see that? Now look at verse 12, toward the end of that verse, where the Bible tells us she's a widow. And notice what it says, and much people of the city was with her. Now, I don't know how much people is, but I see this, as Jesus with many of his disciples and much people come into the city of Nain, I see this widow and her dead son and much people coming out with her. And so, brother, we see two great groups of people converging on the outskirts of Nain. Now, I don't know if much people is dozens or hundreds. I have no idea. But much people are coming in and much people are coming out. And these two groups of people converge on the outskirts of Nain. Somebody said, preacher, why is that so significant? Why does that matter that much people was coming in and much people was going out? Because I want you to notice in verse 13, the Bible said, and the Lord saw her. Woo, glory. Hey, can I tell you, as much people was coming out and much people was going in, and these two great groups of people begin to converge and mingle in the middle of it all, the Bible said the Lord saw her. Can I tell you, sir? Can I tell you, ma'am? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your condition. But can I tell you, in this great group of people and hundreds of people that are here at Rubyville Community Church this morning, I want to assure you that the Lord sees you. Hey, listen, you're not just a face in the crowd. You're not just a number. You're not just somebody warming a pew. I'm telling you, as the Lord has passed by this morning, morning, sir, he sees you. Ma'am, as the Lord has passed by, he sees you. He knows all about you. He has searched you. He has tried you. And he knows you better than you know yourself. Bless God, can I tell you, I'm glad that the Lord sees you and knows all about you. Who? And he saw her. And then I love this, as we consider his compassion. The Bible said he saw her and he had compassion on her. Woo! Somebody said, why is that so important? Let me tell you what compassion means. Here's the definition of compassion: sorrow for the sufferings or the hurts of another. Now, if that's all that it was, that'd be good, Pastor. If that's all that it was, that'd be good, that the Lord would sorrow for us and our hurts. Praise God, we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He sorrows for us when we hurt, but it gets even gooder than that. Woo! Hey, sorrow for the sufferings or the hurts of another. Here's the second part of that definition: accompanied by an urge to help. Woo! Thank God. Amen. Not only does he sorrow for you in your hurt, not only does he sorrow for you in your pain, not only does he sorrow for you and what you're going through, but bless God, compassion means he sorrows for us, but it's accompanied by an urge to help, by an urge to help, by an urge to help. I'm glad, sir, you don't have to leave the same way you came in. Ma'am, I'm glad you don't have to leave with the same burden you walked in with. I'm glad that problem that you brought in this morning, you don't have to take it back home. I'm glad there's one who wants to help you, that sees you, he knows you, he loves you, and he wants to help you in your time of need. Woo! Looking at me awful strange this morning. I'm talking about he wants to help you. Hey, 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 hey. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. It's too big for the preacher. It's too big for Mama and Papa. But I'm glad it's not too big for him. I'm glad he sorrows for you. I'm glad his heart is moved for you. And I'm glad this morning he wants to help you in your time of need. I see her condition, but bless God, I see his compassion. He sees her in the midst of that great crowd of people, and his heart is moved for this weeping mother. His heart is moved for this grieving lady. Amen. His heart is moved, and he wants to help her in her time of need. I'm glad. I'm glad in the last 29 years, he's passed by my way many
of time, and he has saw me in my need. He has saw me in my trouble. He has saw me in my grief, and his heart was moved, and he wanted to help me and make a difference in my life. Aren't you glad today when the Lord shows up? It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Brother, there's still help that can be found in the Lord. Well, I see the conditions. I see the compassion. Now I see the command. I see the command. I want you to notice what the book said. Notice verse 14. Notice verse 14. The Bible said, and he came and he touched the buyer. Someone said, preacher, why is that so important? Well, I know y'all been to a funeral. And I know you've all seen a coffin. And we've all seen the pall bearers. Many times when they're carrying a dead body out, there's six and sometimes eight men carrying a coffin. Now, I don't know how many men was carrying this buyer. There might have been four. There might have been six. There might have been eight. I don't know how many men was carrying this buyer. Someone said, preacher, why is that so significant? Listen, there was hands all over this thing. There was hands all over this thing as these men picked it up and carried it through the streets of Nain and was taking it to the outskirts to bury him. There was hands all over this thing. But do you know, it never made a difference. Woo, hands all over this thing, but it never made a difference. But oh, when Jesus passed by, when the Lord passed by and he laid his hand on the buyer, amen, that made all the difference. Hey, you know what we do sometimes? We take our problems and we take our needs and we take those things that grieve us and trouble us. Amen, we'll wrestle that thing. We'll twist that thing. We'll try to manipulate that thing. We'll try to change it and make it better. We'll try to turn things around. We get our hands all over that thing and it doesn't change the situation one bit. But brother, I'm telling you, when Paul began to write to Timothy and he said this, he said, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying take it out of your hands and put it in his hands. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to change it. Quit trying to manipulate it. You can't do nothing with it. Your hands are all over that thing and it ain't changed it one bit. But I'm telling you, when you put it into his hands, when the master puts his hands on it, when it gets into his hands, when you commit it to him, I'm telling you, he can turn that thing around. He can change that situation. He can meet that need, answer that prayer, send that blessing. I'm telling you, when his hands get on it, brother, things begin to change. Thank God for one that's able to make a difference today. Woo! Thank you, Lord. His hands. No wonder why Jairus came to Jesus, fell down before him and said, Lord, come and lay thy hands upon my daughter that she may be healed and she may live. No wonder why in Mark chapter 7 they brought that man that was both deaf and dumb to the Lord and beseeched him to put his hands upon him. Oh, this morning, I don't know what your need is, but I hope somebody will walk an aisle, lay it at the altar and put it in his hands and say, Lord, my hands can't change it. My hands can't heal it. My hands can't save it. My hands can't make the need met. My hands can't send the blessing, but Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on it. And when you do, Lord, I know that things will begin to turn around. I know you'll make the difference, Lord, when I put it into your hands. You see, when it's in your hands, you might as well just say it's over. But brother, when you put it into his hands, it's not over yet. Amen. He come and he put his hands on the buyer and they stood still. And then he gave a command. He gave the command, young man, I say unto you, arise. You know what? I love Psalm 33 and 9. The Bible said he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Oh, I'm glad when he speaks. Hey, listen, folks begin to listen. I'm glad when he speaks. Hey, man, listen. Someone said, what's so important about his command? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you this morning what's so important about his command. When he gives the command, sickness listens. You remember in Mark chapter 1, that leprous man that came to him and said, Lord, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Bible said Jesus placed his hand upon him and said, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he spoke, the leprosy departed from him and he was made clean. Not only sickness, but the storms listen to his command. You remember in Mark chapter 4, the disciples are upon the stormy sea of Galilee. They wake Jesus up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Bible said he stood up, he rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea and said, peace, be still. And immediately there was a great calm. And they said, oh, what manner of man is this that even the seas and the wind obey him? Not just sickness and not just the storms, but I want you to know that even Satan listens to his voice. Oh, in Matthew chapter 8, that man that was filled with the legion, they tried to do something with him and couldn't do a thing with him. They bound him with chains and bound him with fetters. But listen, they couldn't do anything with him. But one day Jesus showed up. Woo! Amen. Listen, and he said one word. He said, go. And as soon as he did, the legion left him and went into the swine. And the next time they found him, he was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what else listens to his command? Sin listens to his command. Brother, when they let that man down in Matthew chapter 9 through the roof, Jesus looked at him and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And just that fast, brother, he was delivered from his sin. And you know what else? Not only does sickness and storms and Satan and sin listen to his command, but we're about to see that even the stronghold of death listens to his command. I'm telling you, brother, when he speaks, they listen to his voice. And I'm glad never a man spoke like this man. And I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, it's not over. Woo! He said, young man, I say unto you, arise. Oh, now we're about to see number four, and I'm done. We're about to see the conqueror. We've seen the conditions. They were bad. And maybe your conditions are bad this morning. But I see his compassion. Jesus passed by. Wanted to help this mother. I see his command, but then I see the conqueror. Notice what the book said. Oh, I love this. And he that was dead. Say that with me. He that was dead. That's pretty good. One more time. He that was dead. Oh, I'm glad he's a God of wases, ain't you? Hey, man, he's a glad. Hey, listen, brother. Listen, there's a lot of you was a lot of things. Hey, and I was a lot of things. But I'm glad we ain't those things anymore. Hey, man, there's some folks here, you was a dope addict. There's some folks here, you was an alcoholic. There's some folks here, you was a thief. You was a liar. Some folks here, you was an adulterer. You was a fornicator. You was a scoundrel. You was a lot of things. But aren't you glad for the day that Jesus passed by? Hey, listen, while everybody else was saying it's over, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never get saved. You'll never change. You'll never get any better. Aren't you glad for the day that Jesus passed by and I ain't what I was? I'm not what I was. I'm not what I was. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. And there's some of you, you're praying about some things. You've got some lost children. You've got some lost grandbabies. You've got some needs. You need God to move. You need God to show up and bring that healing. You need God to come and answer that prayer. You need the Lord to come and deliver you up out of your trouble. You need God to send down that blessing. You need God to make that way. You need God to do something big. I'm telling you, he that was dead, sat up and began to speak to his mother. I'm glad it's not over. I said it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. I don't care what the devil's told you, what your flesh has told you, what your next door neighbor's told you. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, it's not over yet. As far as mama was concerned, it was over. As far as them mourners were concerned, it was over. The hole had been already dug out. And brother, they was packing him to the graveyard, going to put him in the grave. It was over. There's some of you showed up here this morning convinced that it's over. As I told you, that loved one ain't never going to get saved. That one that's went wayward ain't never going to get restored. That need's too great, it ain't never going to get met. Oh, preacher, I've prayed and that blessing ain't come. Oh, preacher, you don't know what it is we're facing. This mountain is just too big to climb. This valley's too deep, I ain't going to make it through. This storm's too great, I'm going down. Woo! I'm telling you, it's not over. He that was dead sat up and began to speak to his mother. Wouldn't you like to have seen their faces? I'd like to have seen their eyes bug out and their jaw drop as that boy sat up and began to speak. Bless God, I'm telling you, when the Lord shows up, it's not over. Thank God. Listen, he sat up and began to speak to his mother. And listen, the Bible said this. Notice this. The Bible said, and he delivered him to his mother. Now, where did they live? In a place called Nain. Don't you reckon probably when mama got her boy back, they went back to the house. Do you know what the word Nain means in the Bible? Now, Luke chapter 7 is the only place you'll ever find the word Nain. You won't find it anywhere else. And they believe the word Nain has a Hebrew origin. It comes from the word Na'ah, which means a home or a pleasant place. Woo! Someone said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, you may have come in with some problems. He wants to bring you to a pleasant place. You may have come in with some pain. He wants to bring you to a pleasant place. You may have come in with peril. He wants to take you to a pleasant place. I don't know where you're at right now, but I'm glad he wants to bring you back to Nain. He wants to bring you back to a pleasant place. Don't you reckon that morning, instead of a funeral, they had a feast? Woo! Don't you suppose that instead of a burial, they had a blessing? Don't you think instead of going to the grave, they were thanking God for his grace? I'm telling you, you can leave different than you came in. I don't know what you come in packing. I don't know your problems, your heartache, your troubles. I don't know what it is that has grieved you. But I'm telling you, folks, it ain't over. It ain't over. It's not over, Daddy. It's not over, Mommy. It's not over, husband. It's not over, wife. It's not over, Mamma. It's not over, Papa. It's not over, son. It's not over, daughter. Hey, the Lord's here. He's done passed by, and I felt his presence. I have felt his powerful hand, and I don't know your need, but I know the one that can take care of it. Amen. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. You might be hopeless, helpless, and hurting, but Jesus is passing by, and brother, if you'll just put it in his hands, and you'll commit it to him, and you'll trust him, I'm telling you, he can turn it around. Amen. He can change the directions because he's the difference maker. I'm telling you, it's not over just yet. Woo. I'm going to tell this story, then we're going to have the singers come. Is that okay, preacher? Years ago, there was a preacher by the name of G.A. Young. They said G.A. was a mighty man of God. I mean, they said he was gun barrel straight. He was a preacher, old Nazarene preacher. And they said G.A. had spent all his life scrimping and saving just to get enough money for him and his wife to get a little home place. After years of scrimping and saving, they finally got enough money gathered up. He could build them a little home to stay in. And G.A. was called off to do a revival. Him and his wife left town. When they come back, they found that some folks in the community that didn't like what the preacher had to say burnt their home to the ground. They walked up hand in hand to smoldering ashes. And his wife said, G.A., what shall we do now? G.A. said, we're going to trust the same God we've always trusted in. He ain't changed addresses. And he said, Jeremiah 33:3 still says, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. thou hast not known. There were some folks in the community that loved the old preacher and gave him a place to stay while they were figuring out what to do. And one day, G.A. came home, slammed the screen door as he come running in. He looked at his wife, said, God gave me a song. She said, G.A., what are you talking about? G.A. wasn't no singer, and he sure wasn't no songwriter. She said, what do you mean God gave? Oh, yeah. He said, God gave me a song. Woo, you know we still sing that old song today. Some through the water and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. I'm glad today God still leads his dear children along. He ain't forgot about you. He sees you in this great host of people. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows more about you than you know yourself. And I'm telling you, sir, I'm telling you, ma'am, it's not over yet.